Ya Arhamar Rahimin. When Allah gives the Imam Sahib Tawfiq to read certain chapters, then definitely that's a message for you and I. And as a believer, it should intrigue us, what is my Allah saying? And if it doesn't tickle my heart to want to know what is my Allah's message, then there's something wrong. Because the Quran Kareem is Allah's kalam. And subhanallah, so beautiful for us to want to know what is my Allah saying. So we just heard chapter 66 of the Quran Kareem. The name of this chapter is Surah Al-Tahreem. Now something very interesting is that you are going to be reaching this chapter throughout your tilawah in the month of Ramadan, because we completing and we starting and we completing and we starting. So keep something in mind. This is the last of Medina revealed chapters in the longest sequence of the Medinan revealed chapters. So we mentioned 2 days ago, the longest surahs in the Quran Kareem were revealed in Medina Munawwara. So the first four after Surah Fatiha, Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa and Ma'idah. All these four chapters, this is very easy to remember because the first four longest chapters in the Quran Kareem and all have more than 200 ayat revealed in Medina Munawwara. But those are four surahs. Here now, Tahreem is a Medina revealed chapter. After Surah Tahreem is Surah Mulk, revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. So most of the surahs thereafter were revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. So from Hadid, which is in the previous juz, right till Mulk, all these chapters were revealed in Medina Munawwara. So this is easy to remember. So in numbers of surahs, this is the longest, not in the amount of ajza and pages and rukus. So this is one of the last. And something else interesting is these chapters were latter Medina. So we learn that the tone of the Quran Kareem is different, more emphatic, more emphasis. Like this chapter, subhanallah, it's awe-striking and it instills a lot of fear. It's warning against hypocrisy. But Allah so lovingly addresses mankind and addresses the believers. That's what you would have heard repeatedly. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. Throughout the Quran Kareem, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, when Allah says this, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, He says, open your ears and open your heart. Allah is addressing you. So whether we're hearing this in salah, immediately we should hearken. We have to wake up. Allah is talking to us. Think about it. Any senior person talks to us, and at the time we're digging our diamonds, we're scratching somewhere, we're itching, and we... Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, even at the time one's scarf falls off, one's hair is falling, a person should not even pay attention to that. That is a time where we are in total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is speaking to us. Allah is giving us a message. فَأَرْعِهَا سَمَعَكْ He would say, listen attentively. This is Allah's kalam. So in these verses, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and whenever we hear يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that is predominantly a Medina chapter. And when we hear Ya Ayyuhan Nas, that's most of the time in some Medina chapters, but mainly in the Meccan revealed surahs of the Quran Kareem. So here repeatedly. And in the beginning of this chapter, there's an amazing incident between the blessed Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the time he used to give his blessed wives, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anhun. This chapter also refers to their status and their greatness. And it refers to the greatness of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's a beautiful incident behind the first ruku of this chapter. Then Allah exhorts mankind. O humanity, O people of Iman, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, Qoo, Allah says, save, rescue yourself and your families from such a fire, Nara. When the tanween, Nara, comes in a form like this, it means a very, very severe fire. The fuel of this fire is man and stone. And in charge of this fire is Malaika. Ghilav. These Malaika are very, very stern. Shidad. They're very, very strict. They don't defy any of Allah's commands whatsoever. That Mufassirin even say that these Malaika have no feeling. They just obey the command of Allah as is. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهِ And the wisdom in them not having feeling is when mankind is tortured in hell, they don't go easy. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ They don't disobey Allah's command. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ They do as they are commanded to do. So the next verse Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O people, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ O disbelievers, جزاكَ O disbelievers, أحسنتم لا تعتذروا اليوم Don't make excuses today. Those who didn't preserve their iman, those that also could have had iman and lost their iman. That's why, because just now a discussion is coming to show an example of those who had iman and lost iman. So, oh, those who disbelieve, don't make excuses today. لا تعتذروا اليوم There's no excuse acceptable today in Allah's court. The only time for pardon and seeking pardon is in dunya. In akhirah, everyone is going to believe. Everyone is going to have full iman. But it's not accepted there. That's why the Quran Kareem says with regards to good deeds too. The Quran Kareem doesn't say do good deeds. The Quran Kareem says bring the good deed. So do it and preserve it and protect it. Man jaa, come with it till Qiyamat ke din. You can have the most valuable thing. It can get lost. You can have the most valuable access to any valuable place. Somebody considers it valuable. This is just an example. If we lost that access, they'll never allow a person entry. Iman has to be protected and the good deeds have to be protected because the attackers of Iman and good deeds are all the time hacking our system. So Allah says there's no excuses accepted. Then Allah says, Tubu, O people of Iman, make tawbah. Allah is exhorting us to repent, tawbah. Taba yatubu means to turn, turn to Allah. Tawbatan, such a tawbah, that is nasuh. Nasuh means very pure and very sincere. Nasuh. Nasaha is a very interesting word in the Arabic language. Nasaha. Nasaha, the same word nasiha comes from there. Nasiha also comes from nasaha. And nasuh also comes from nasaha. The root letters are noon, sa, ha. What it means is to remove anything unwanted from the honey. Nasaha. That's one meaning of nasaha. And the other meaning of nasaha means to sew. Material with material, wool with wool. So nasaha, to sew. Nasaha, to remove any unwanted item or thing. And what does nasuh mean? And what does nasiha mean? Let's start with nasiha. Nasiha means when saying anything, say it for Allah. There should not be unwanted lurking intentions there. When saying anything for Allah, be careful of our intention. There shouldn't be any impurity in that utterance. Otherwise, it won't have an effect. The statement, the da'wat for Allah, the advice given for Allah has to be pure and sincere. Nasiha comes from there. And also, the meaning of sowing. When speaking for Allah, the intention must be to actually connect. Because when you sow, you're connecting. Connect makhluq to khaliq. To connect one person to Allah. And also, when speaking to people, it must also be sweet like honey, polite and kind. And nasuh means it. The tawbah, turning to Allah, must be so pure that there's no hidden agendas behind it. And it must be in a manner that we are connecting to Allah and turning to Allah. Like when Sahaba went to Persia, Hazrat Rabi'i, and the emperor asked him, what y'all want here? Why y'all came here? So the Sahaba say, we actually didn't come. Then what you mean? What you doing here if you didn't come? Because the Persians were very upset that the Sahaba were coming and spreading Allah's deen in Persia. Remember Al-Muthanna bin Harith al-Shaybani, radiallahu anhu, the first Sahabi to bring Islam into Persia. Hazrat Abu Bakr would hear Kar Guzari of Al-Muthanna, he would get so happy and give him so much dua. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr sent Khalid bin Walid to help Al-Muthanna. But look at Sahaba. Hazrat Abu Bakr sent Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, but Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was made Amir because he was more senior. But Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was told, you must appreciate Muthanna's efforts. Al-Muthanna was told, you must respect Khalid's position. Each one is taught the right of the next. Each one was taught and exhorted, look in the good of the next. Don't search for faults. Look for the goodness. See the good in him and appreciate him. Shaitan wants us to look at each other's faults. Then we get deprived. Because even in learning, we learn from our mashayikh. If we look for the faults of our teachers too, if we look for the faults of those sharing with us, those who are leading our communities, if we look for faults, we'll find faults. But then we'll be deprived. And there's so much of good. Who's perfect? Anbiya alayhi wasalam were perfect. So when Hazrat Rabi'i was asked, what are you doing here? Why you all came here? So he says, we didn't come. Allah has sent us to you. What words of Hazrat Rabi'i? Allah has sent every Sahabi CV was this. Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum. Allah has sent us to you. لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَعَى مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. To take mankind out of the servitude of makhluq. To place mankind in the servitude of one khaliq. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَتِهَا. To take mankind out of the constrained, miserable life of this world. And place mankind in the vast happiness and peace of dunya and akhirah. This wording of the Sahabi is very interesting. He doesn't say only the vastness of akhirah. He says this vastness starts in dunya. So I was meeting a brother Naeem yesterday. So I'm telling him, look at this ayat of the Quran Kareem. Allah says, Innal abrar lafi na'im. Verily the righteous, Allah doesn't say they will be in bliss. Allah says they are in bliss. So we're fortunate to be Muslim. We're fortunate to have deen. We're fortunate to have masjid. We're fortunate to have ijtima. We're fortunate to have fikr. We're fortunate to have a'mal. This brings sanity and peace and happiness in a person's life. Allah says the righteous are already in happiness. Allah doesn't say they will be in happiness. And the word abrar means righteousness. And it also means land. So they are stable. In land, there's stability. And in contrast to that, the fajir is like he's, you know, motion sickness and ocean sickness. You know, seasick, he's winding, he doesn't know what's happening, he's dizzy. He goes here sometimes, one church does that, one place of worship does this, he's so confused. How fortunate are we that we know what is to be done to please Allah and aspire for Allah. And if we want to do something, there's so much to be done. And we know what is to be done is correct because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba kiram showed the way. So how much of shukr must we make for Islam? So the Quran Kareem is telling us that. Innal abrar lafi na'im. So then, what an amazing hadith there is concerning this word na'im. This hadith is in Sunan Ibn Majah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah. So not far, there was a discussion among Sahaba, kiram radiallahu anhum. And what was the topic? They were discussing what's the best avenue of income. Who's earning well? Which is the best avenue to go into? Like in today's times, oh, this, you know, this field or this company or this business or, you know, freighting this or, you know, importing this or that. This is the best thing. Most returns, best profits. A discussion was ensuing. Among Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the discussion came about maybe sheep. The other said, no, what about camels? What about the returns of camels? And in that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his salah and came to them. And he said that, let me clarify something. You're discussing business, you're discussing trade. La ba'sa bil ghina. Fine. There's no harm if you want to have. Ghina is riches. You want to have dunya? It's fine as long as you have the consciousness of Allah. لِمَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. If one is conscious of Allah and you want it, then it's okay. But then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded to appreciate. وَالصِّحَّةُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That we can't have everything. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, appreciate what we have. Because this is dunya. You have something, you don't have something else. You can go to the most exotic place. It can never be perfect. This is the world. You can want tea in a certain way. Sometimes it will come out like that. Sometimes it won't come out like that. No matter how much you try. This world is superfluous. It's superficial. It can never be perfect. In Jannah, even the drink you want, يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا. Subhanallah, the surah of the Quran you heard on Friday, generally on a Friday, that describes Jannah, and that Sahabi from Africa heard that surah and he passed away on the spot. Allah says there that there's servants in Jannah to pour you your drink. And even in certain instances, there's also hur'een to pour for you. In dunya, we don't do those things. And we can't even aspire for those things in the world because it's not permissible. But every pleasure is accomplished there. That's the perfect place. This can't be perfect. So there, even the drink, قَدَّرُوهَا, analyze, you're having tea. Sometimes it was just a little bit less. You needed one more sip. And sometimes it's so nice, but it's just too much. The stomach is not enjoying it anymore. Even a simple cup of tea, sometimes it's just right, but it's not hot enough. Here the angel exactly knows what temperature, how much, exactly, perfectly, what is the desire of a person is known, and that's the amount the angel pours for you. And that khadim pours for you, and the hur'een pours for you. قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this world, as long as you have taqwa, then Allah's Nabi said, but the gift of health is greater than the gift of wealth. وَالصِّحَّةُ مِنَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْغِنَى. Then Allah's Nabi said, وَطِيبُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. To be content and happy with Allah. Not to be grumpy and angry and irritable and upset. Sometimes a person got everything, but he's so irritable, he's so upset, so grumpy. No one wants to be near him. And in the month of Ramadan, where we're supposed to be more tolerant, more kind, even the employees know that don't go near him also. Astaghfirullah. That's not supposed to be the case. We're supposed to be more cool, more conscious of Allah. Allah's Nabi said to be happy with Allah. Tibun nafs, to be in a good mood, to be appreciative of Allah, is part of the bliss of Jannah that starts in this world already. وَطِيبُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. Be happy with Allah. Be in a good mood. Be happy. No matter what the situation out there. Who doesn't have problems? Who doesn't have challenges? Every person. That one woman who came to, you know, came for a dawa to the amil, you know, to the Maulana. So Maulana told her, you want me to make for you medicine? So get for me 7 cloves. But you have to get the clothes from that home that has seen no troubles. So she's thinking to herself, now really, I need it because I need that medicine. I got so much of troubles, I got so much of problems, I got so much of worries. When we think about our worries, then it increases. Do for Allah. Think about akhirah, think about deen. It lessens the burden of our worries on our shoulders. Who doesn't have worries? This is the place of worry. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. This is the world. There's pressures, there's troubles, there's challenges. It has to happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew lines coming towards a person's life all the time. You overcome one, there's another waiting in the corner. There's another challenge waiting in that corner. We need Allah every second, every moment, every split second also. Here, she goes to the most palatial home in that community. She needs clothes. She's thinking now logically, hey, well-to-do, what an income, what, you know, portfolio they have. Let me get these clothes. So she knocks the door. She says, the sister opens. She says, sister, please, I won't take much of your time. I need a favor. Can you just give me 7 clothes? She says, that's all. I'll bring it for you right now, right away. She says, wait. As she was bringing it, I need it from a home that hasn't seen troubles. I say, hey, come in a few minutes. Let's just tell you about it. You know, then you'll realize, then you'll decide whether you want our clothes or not. And as she sits there and she hears their challenges and troubles, she becomes so emotional. She now is worried about helping them. Anyway, by the time she finishes there, she goes to the next home and the next home, the second biggest and the third biggest and like that. Finally, she forgot about her own problems. When we make the worry of the ummah, that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ جَعْلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا هَمَّ الْمَعَادِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ هَمَّ الدُّنْيَا. He whose worry is the akhirah, Allah will sort out his dunyawi worries. And he'll realize that I need to be appreciative to Allah. I need to appreciate. Who doesn't have troubles in this world? That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhum say, whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced any challenge, he rushed, faza'a, he hastened to salah. Talk to Allah about it. Let's complete these last few verses. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the parable of the disbeliever and the believer. And imagine the example Allah gives. Allah says, the parable of the one who disbelieves is the wife of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and the wife of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. That's why the initial verses said, worry for the hidayat and the iman of our families that we heard today. Ahlikum. Here Allah is saying, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, who made so much of effort, but his own wife betrayed him. His own wife used to tell the people he's mad. He lost it. He doesn't know what he's saying. His own wife, she betrayed him and she lost her iman. That's why there's no guarantee that, hey, we Muslim today or our children are also going to have Islam and iman down the line. You're going to hear in the Quran the story of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. This is an incident repeated in the Quran throughout. Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. And take note, when you hear وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا, few ayats later you're going to hear وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Allah brings these two incidents always throughout the Quran Kareem, where Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's story incident comes, Allah couples it with the incident of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam most of the time. But here, every time when Allah brings the incident of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, when he made effort on his people Aad, Allah then brings the incident of Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. So when listening to the Quran Kareem, keep this in mind that you know, okay, just now Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, Hazrat Salih alayhi salam's incident is coming. That was such an ajeeb, scary incident that happened in history. A powerful nation, Aad they were, taller than lofty date palm trees. They could uproot a tree with their bare hands. Imagine a tree. They could uproot it. Imagine the strength Allah gave them. But that strength, because it was not coupled with taqwa and iman, it became their detriment. They used to say, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa." You worried about strength? We are the people of strength. Allah tells the Nabi of Allah, tell them, what about the Allah who gave them the strength? What about His strength? أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ. Don't they realize and introspect and ponder and analyze that the Allah who made us, imagine His strength is unlimited. Allah destroyed those who defied. It's a lengthy incident in history how they went to Makkah. They were Arabs also, that nation. They went to Makkah, they went to Kaaba, they prayed. Allah sent such a cloud. But cutting a long story short, everyone were destroyed but the believers. Only few were left. Those who were imandar upon Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. Allah blessed him with a life of 270 years. Only dawat, only effort, only dawat, only effort. But those who brought iman, they were saved. What is shocking is from the imandar, their children and their grandchildren, years later, about and a little more than 100 years later, Allah sends Hazrat Salih alayhi salam to the progeny of the imandar people of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. So these people, their grandfathers were the people who saw Allah's help. They were saved when the whole nation were destroyed. Imagine how should their iman have been when Hazrat Salih alayhi salam used to remind them. Remember how Allah rescued you when your forefathers were destroyed? Allah rescued your forefathers. They said, you know what? Those people, they weren't sharp men. They weren't right up there. You know, the arrogant attitude of youth who don't have the consciousness of Allah, who think, I can do what I like. Nobody can tell me anything. I got a solution to every problem. Yeah, Allah can make one thing go wrong in this body. No doctor can help us. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, Allah says, I can close your eyesight. I can stop the pipeline of oxygen. Bring any doctor, physician, superpower in the world. Man ilah. Allah says, which deity, which superpower, which controller can assist us? Ghayrullah ya'tikum bih, can assist us in our predicament, in our solution, in our problem. Only Allah, nothing and no one else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the shocking reality is, the offspring of a believing nation whose forefathers were rescued lost their iman. That's why our elders say repeatedly, effort of iman, effort of iman, effort of iman. We have to die continuing and trying and striving for our iman, humanity's iman, our progeny's iman. This doesn't stop. This is an effort that never ever stops. And when we stop this, then we're stopping the supply of water. Iman, Imagine how many times we heard this morning. Allah says, Iman, O people of Iman. And here Allah is giving us the example. And what this nation said, those forefathers of ours weren't sharp. They, Allah sent the winds. We heard the winds yesterday. What powerful winds, mashallah, Allah sent to Stenger. Subhanallah. You know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The hadith is in Tirmidhi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels saw the mountains and they were shocked. Allah, so powerful mountains, because the mountains are deep rooted into the earth. Powerful, huge mountains. Oh Allah, is there any of your creation more powerful than mountains? So Allah says, yes, I created steel. With steel, it can terminate and eradicate and uproot mountains. Now, subhanallah, the parable of the mountains in the Quran, the mountains are equated to pigs. Pigs. So scientists also grapple and shock. Pigs. Now, of recent times, in the previous century, they actually say that the best description of the mountain is actually pigs. Because if it's not for mountains, the earth will collapse and swerve and sway. And the mountains are keeping the earth firm. And Quran Karim describes this 1400 years ago. So the angels are seeing this powerful mountain, that what we see in front of us, two to three times bigger than what we see, the mountain is inside the earth, keeping the earth stable and firm. You'll see the pigs in the istima. That's a pig. If you remove those pigs, the tent will fall. If the mountains are removed, the earth will collapse and swerve and sway, and everyone would get destroyed. So the malaika were shocked at the strength and the power of the mountains. So Allah says, more powerful than that is steel. And that's also another miracle in the Quran. Because when Allah speaks of steel, Surah Hadid, I just mentioned to you earlier, one of the first of the array of Medina verses, Allah doesn't say we created steel. Allah says we sent down steel. And scientists shock at the fact that steel is an alien commodity, not from this earth. It comes from outer space. And it fell onto the earth. It's not indigenous to this earth. It comes from outer space, and the expression of Quran concerning steel is not khalaqnal al-hadid, anzalna al-hadid. Now, mufassirin of the past, when they translated anzalna al-hadid, they said, we created it. But when you analyze what scientists say, when recently they find that it's an alien commodity to this earth, the perfect description of steel would be exactly as Allah says, that Allah sent it from outer space. How perfect and apt is Allah's kalam, that it's for all times. Subhanallah. Let's finish the discussion quickly now, you know. So anyway, this hadith we'll finish, and then we'll just mention one or two points of the surah, and then we'll take your leave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then the malaika asked Allah, oh Allah, the steel, so powerful. What's more powerful than steel? Allah says, I created fire, and fire can melt the steel. Oh Allah, what's more powerful than fire? Allah said, I created water. Look at the power of water. Water can destroy. Water can bring life. Water can also destroy. Oh Allah, what's more powerful than water? Allah said, I created the winds. And Quran Kareem speaks of the different types of winds in وَالْذَارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى. There's more than 25 vocabs in Arabic for every type of wind. So many types of winds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send. Imagine what types of winds, how nations were destroyed. Like here, this nation, Hud alayhi salam's people were destroyed with the winds. They asked Allah, Allah, what's more powerful than that? Allah says, only one thing. What is it, O Allah? When the mu'min sincerely gives for Allah, and he draws from Allah's help, and he does for Allah, just for Allah, sincerely, that doing for Allah and that giving for Allah can change the system in the entire universe. That's more powerful than all the creation. Leave the winds, the mountains, the steel, the fire, everything cannot compare to the power and the strength in that mu'min who's sincere to Allah and sincerely does for Allah and sincerely gives for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the winds. What this nation said, Hud alayhi salam's people said, Salih alayhi salam's people said, our forefathers, they weren't sharp. We got our castles, we got contact, we got inverter, we got second plan, we got backup plan. Nobody can do anything. We got this system, we got that system, we got everything in place. Allah forgive us. A'mal is out of the equation. All the systems we can have, but our reliance has to be on a'mal. We need Allah's help. That has to be first on the list. And besides that, Allah has told us to be ready also. But a'mal is priority. So So they said, see, if the winds blow stronger, we go inside the mountains. Our castles are ready there. We got backup plan. Allah sent one angel with one screech and they were terminated. Finished, kaput, dead. Just one screech of an angel. No one can escape the power and the qudrah and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's wife, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam's wife. And look at it today. Sometimes we think, oh, our children are Muslim. Ask the jamaats going into different areas. We can't mention specifically. The man says, I thought my children were Muslim. And slowly, kufr was coming in through the walls of that home. Kufr. Where a time came where the child says, no, I'm not Muslim anymore. This is happening right at our doorstep. That's why the Quran Kareem exhorts, effort of iman, effort of iman, effort of iman. Allah give us tawfiq. This is why we have the ijtima. Let's be fully part and parcel. And not only attend the ijtima, but we have to go in the path of Allah. We have to spend time in the masjid, spend time in the a'mal to learn iman. Where we learn iman? Iman has to be learned in the field of iman. We have to strive in Allah's way to learn iman and taste iman and experience iman and experience the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes we say, what we must go for? We have to worry about the wife, worry about the children. Yes, that's understandable. We have to. That's a responsibility. But what about preparing them for the time we die? To get them ready. That we can die at any time. The child must know. Your father could die at any time. Allah is always there. There was a hadith that shook me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man passes away and his wife and his children are complaining. Why our husband? Why our father? Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's being punished in the grave for that. Now you would wonder, he didn't perpetrate that crime. His wife and his children are complaining and objecting to Allah's decision. The problem is he didn't teach them that your father is not providing for you. He's just the means that Allah is giving you through. Your father can pass away at any time. Allah is providing for you. If we don't go sometime in the path of Allah and spend some time in the masjid and spend, what will prepare us for our qabr? What will prepare our children that life is so short? Not only old people are passing away, many young people are passing away with women and children. We have to worry for our iman, for our children's iman. Many a time we worry, what will happen to our children the day we die? What will happen to them the day they die? How they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the culminating verses of this chapter. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. And Hazrat Maryam, again, how many times she is mentioned in the Quran Kareem? You know, 32 times in Allah's kalam. Hazrat Maryam, Hazrat Maryam. Allah wants us to tell every Christian we know. You know, Mary is mentioned in the Quran. She's mentioned in the Bible 18 times. Double almost. 32 times in the Quran. Let him think. His shop is next to your shop. He's going to say to Allah, Allah, that Muslim never told me. This is also another responsibility, very important. Wa Maryam ibnata Imran. And Hazrat Maryam, the daughter of Imran. So her father's name was Imran. That's why chapter 3 is Al Imran. Wa Maryam ibnata Imran. She preserved her chastity. Ahsanat farjaha. Wa nafakhna fiha min ruhina. Allah says, we sent the angel and we blew with Allah's will the soul of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam into her sleeve. And she fell pregnant with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions the wife of the Pharaoh. The wife of Fir'aun. Who was the wife of Fir'aun? Hazrat Asiya. The Quran Kareem doesn't mention her by name. The only woman the Quran Kareem mentions by name is Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's mother. The other woman, throughout the Quran Kareem, Allah mentions the wife of Fir'aun. How the ayat goes, the last ayat? مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah gives the parable of iman. How? Allah reminds us of the wife of Fir'aun. إِذْ قَالَتْ. Look at her worry. She said, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكْ. She lived in palatial palaces, but there was no happiness in there because there was no iman there. She was concerned and worried for her iman. And she defended Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And she loved Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. She said, Allah, all this can go away. I want you in my life. Rabbi ibni li indak baytan. Oh my Allah, you construct for me, by you, a house. Indak baytan. Look at her expression. She doesn't say a house by you. In Arabic, even the sequence of the word makes a difference in the translation. It's not haphazard words that we just say. In Arabic and in Islam, we learn think before we ink, think before we speak. When we say something, a statement, the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said in the hadith that when Asiya told Fir'aun, this child can be our child. He'll be a coolness to our eyes. He said, what? Maybe for you, never for me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he didn't utter those words, he could have got iman. Blurting out words out of context became his deprivation of iman. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Sahih Bukhari, sometimes a person says something that one statement can throw him into hell and he'll fall for 70 years in the pit of hell. We have to watch these words, every word. But look at her words. Oh my Allah. Ahau by you. Ahau. Indak baytan. How Allah answered her dua. Allama Ibn Kathir brings an amazing hadith here, Brother Abdul Rauf. An amazing hadith. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave salams for her when Hazrat Khadija was passing away. That, oh Khadija, give salams to your sisters, your co-wives. Oh Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where you had anybody besides me? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the mother of Hazrat Isa and the widow of the Pharaoh, Hazrat Asiya. Allah wedded them to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah because of their sacrifice. And because she asked Allah, Allah, by you a house. And the closest to Allah, and this would be the analogy, the closest to Allah is the beloved of Allah, Habib, Al-Mustafa, Al-Mujtaba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah weds her to Janabi Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us all love for the Quran Kareem. Allah accept us all for His deen. But we have to make a request, you know. Because, and what's the request is, we want a Jamaat from Stanger, these wonderful people from Stanger, you know, with Mufti Talha sahab, and Maulana Salman sahab, you know, and Maulana Ahmad Radha sahab, and we want this whole Jamaat, and especially my best friend Maulana Rida, this Jamaat must come, and Maulana Qasim sahab, this whole Jamaat must come to Newcastle, come and give us the opportunity to make your khidmah, come in the path of Allah, come in Jamaat, all our satis, Maulana sahab, please. So can we make this tashkil, you know, give us your names, brothers, give us your, because we're leaving now. First request is make us maaf, you know, we cause taklif for you all. We were speaking long at night. But actually, it's the opportunity in the month of Ramadan. We were hoping that the brothers can be in Ibadah and so forth. And there were occasions where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it wasn't all the time, but especially in the month of Ramadan is the month for Ibadah. And we were hoping that this could connect us somewhat to the Quran Kareem, even though we can do nothing, only Allah can do. So forgive us for our shortcomings and our mistakes. But this is what we insisting on. Brother Ismail, we insisting that we want you all to bring a Jamaat under Haji Imran Ji. Haji Imran, we want the Jamaat to come to Newcastle, inshallah. Ji, proper Jamaat, inshallah. No be-usuli, proper usul Jamaat. Not like me, you know, proper Jamaat, alhamdulillah. So, bismillah, inshallah. Brother Ashraf, tell the brothers, inshallah. Let's take the names, Ji, of the brothers. This is Tanga, you know, this is a special town. I got so many family members here. And in that Jamaat, my uncle Yaqub has to be in the Jamaat in Ahmad, you know. Ji, so give us your names, inshallah. Ashraf, write the names down, you know. These brothers, if they give us their names, it's very valuable, you know. We need them.